312-1482, In Re Eric Jasinski. Mr. Knight? Is that how you pronounce it?
N-G, Your Honor.
N-G.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Anthony N.G. and I'm representing the Appellant International Business Machine Corporation, the real party in interest. The issue of this case is basically very simple. It's whether the Board have misapplied Behringer when characterizing the phase, verifying the accuracy of logical to physical mapping software as a statement of intended use. And since this is a construction of claims, and we ask the Court to use de novo standard. However, if the Court decided to use the substantial evidence standard as suggested by the opposing counsel, the appellant still not automatically lose because the Board have committed several reversible error in this particular case on law as well as facts. So let me start with the facts of law. In this particular case, we just simply asked the Court to uphold the holdings of Behringer, which happened to be authored by Judge Clemenger, also with us today. The holding of this case is basically the preamble can be used as in context unless there's no reason you have to take out as an intended use, because it's basically put the claims in context. And the Board basically piggybacked that case with In Re Stencil, because that case is really dictum talk about even though the statement is intended use can be appear in the preamble, but it can also appear in the claims, in the body of the claims. But really that case is a dictum. So for this case, since the verifying the logical to physical mapping software is actually important and germane to this case, if you take it out, that's basically like the holding of Behringer has no meaning except reduce it down to some sort of academic exercise.
Mr. NG, let's just assume for purposes of argument that we agree with you that the verifying the accuracy of said logical to physical mapping software is a limitation in the claim.
Yes, Your Honor.
As I understand the director argues, well, so what? Adams teaches that.
Correct.
So don't you have to convince us that the director is wrong when the director says that Adams actually teaches verifying the accuracy of this mapping software?
That's a good question, Your Honor.
Well, why doesn't Adams teach the method step of verifying the accuracy of the mapping software?
Yes, Your Honor. Adams is also related to testing memory chips, which is a case assigned also to International Business Machine. So the appellant's well aware of Adams. So basically, Adams is related to testing memory softwares. So when there's something wrong with the software, the system memory, basically we use what we call built-in self-test, the BIST short, to send in some data to test this memory chip. And then you read out the data, and then you compare with the expected data to see whether they're correct or not. And then after that, you take it to this, what we call the logical to physical mapping software, to print out this map so you can do the failure analysis if there's something wrong, so you know exactly where the physical location of the what's wrong. So, and in this case, what distinguished from the Adams case is we want to find out what's wrong with this software. If there's anything wrong with the software, we want to verify.
I'm not following you. Are you telling me that Adams teaches you, in essence, that there may be a flaw in the chip or there may be a flaw in the software, but you don't know which?
No, Your Honor. Adams teaches the testing of the memory chip. So once you test the memory chip, the result come out, you cannot just read the result because it's in logical address. And then you have to use this particular software, logical to physical mapping software, to read out the result. But that software, the P-software, is prone to error. So we have to test what's wrong with that software. So this is a sequel to that case. So it is completely distinguished.
Well, why is the examiner wrong that one, and this is your point, I guess, that one of ordinary skill in the art would deduce that the mapping software is defective if the Adams invention finds an error in the data? Why is that not correct.
Excuse me, Anya, I don't understand your question.
The examiner, as I understand it, concluded that one of ordinary skill in the art would deduce that the mapping software is defective if the Adams invention finds an error in that data.
No, in fact, the examiner, that's one of the mistakes that the examiner did not understand that the invention is, the mapping software is not related to this particular case, even though the mapping software appears in both cases, the Adams case and this case. But the previous case, the Adams case, is really about testing the system memory, whether there's anything wrong with the memory. And then the comparing step that mentioned in the record on Adams is really comparing, is there anything wrong with the software? Is there anything wrong with the system memory in Adams? And once you get that result, you translate to this mapping software to physical address so human being can read them. And this
Adams has mapping software?
Mapping has mapping software. And the problem is that the mapping software is prone to error. That's why this invention is to address that mapping software to check whether the mapping software is correct or not. And
but when Adams detects an error, what do you know about the nature of the error?
Sometimes you read the bit run and zero wrong. Like, for example, the mapping software is essentially a translator. No different, let's say, for example, if I come to the court and say, I know how to translate Chinese to English, and Your Honor will say, hold on.
Okay, so if there's a possibility that the error is in the mapping software, but there's also a possibility that the error is for some other reason, right?
There could be other reason, but it's not addressed by the current or the previous or addressed by Adams. So basically, this current invention is addressed.
But when you run Adams, what do you know at the end of the day? You have the BIST, the built-in self-test.
You know whether that the system memory is correct or not. That's because the Adams is to test whether the system memory is correct or not.
By system memory, you mean the accuracy of the chip?
Correct. So it's a hardware to test. You know, there has to be some way to test the hardware. And Adams addressed the hardware to test whether anything wrong with the system memory.
And your application does what beyond that?
And then after you test, the result, as I mentioned, is you have to use a translator to translate the result. And otherwise, you wouldn't know whether the test is correct or not. So the translator, which is this mapping software, would translate the language to the human being, and you can understand which
and,
bit
and
is
you
right
get
wrong.
At that by having a certain number of predetermined fails that you just stick in, and then you run your software to see if they find them.
Correct.
If the software finds
exactly.
them, then you say, we have good software. If the software doesn't find them, you have bad software.
Precisely, Your Honor. That's exactly what the current invention is about. So, and I think I can see why the board and the examiner confused the two, because they are so similar, and yet they are completely different, because, like Your Honor precisely pointed out, the pre-series Adams is related to the system memory, the testing whether there's anything wrong with the hardware. And then we use this piece of software to translate the result. And this piece of software, the mapping software, cross over Adams as well as the present invention. And that's where the confusion come in, because this invention is really addressed.
So what you're saying is that because you think Adams is not actually verifying the accuracy of the mapping software, you could have an error in your software in Adams that would deduce or tell you that there's a flaw in the system.
Correct.
But
and
flaw in the system at all. It was that you were using the wrong testing mechanism.
Correct. And we would not know. So, like if you use a measuring tape to measure whether Jack is taller than Jill, you have to check whether the measuring tape is correct or not. In this case, the present invention is exactly what we're trying to do, is to find a method to test this measuring tape. So, and I think...
come back to the presiding judge's question, because she was reading from, I believe, the examiner's final office action that was sustained by the board that said, well, it's true, if you will, that your client's patent is more explicit in saying we're going to actually test and verify the accuracy of the software. But one of ordinary skill in the art, when he runs Adams, will know if the error was in the software.
Will not, because you have two unknowns. One is the system chip itself, because we're testing whether the system memory is correct.
Let's get at this. I mean, are you going to say, is your argument that there is, that the examiner was wrong, that there's no substantial evidence in the record to support
correct.
In the fact, conclusion that one of ordinary skill in the art would have had the answer that the flaw was in the mapping software?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
So, I mean, what's the legal mistake here?
The legal mistake is basically the board has incorrectly characterized the verifying step as simply a statement of intended use. Because, first of all...
Let's get past that. And okay. Let's say it is a limitation in the claim.
Okay.
Then where what's the mistake? If I have to write the opinion up and say that both the examiner and the board made a mistake,
yes.
What's the answer to that?
In Adams, the comparing step is, let's say, comparing apple to orange. And then in the current invention, the comparing step is comparing apple and bananas. So the mistake is you compare the two as the same comparing steps, and that's the mistake.
And that's because you're in your view, you're testing two different things in Adams and in your invention.
You're correct, Your Honor. And in fact, it's also on record.
Doesn't that lead into the director's point that you didn't preserve that argument, the comparing function is something that the director says you didn't raise below. They say that you therefore waived it. And in your reply brief, you don't come back to that. You, in essence, concede.
The point that is the director raised is related to failure analysis. And that point is actually first raised by the board. When the board decided to use Behringer as the holding for this case. And the evidence, the support the board used is basically related to the failure analysis that the board commented that the appellant did not address to that point. But the point is the examiner never brought up that point. And in fact, the board that used as a support is really the argument that the appellant trying to compare the differences or the distinguish the differences between the two cases. And yet, the board sort of sua sponte decided to say, this is basically, look, this is the support that our position, this is a statement is intended use because you're just saying this is just for verifying. So, and I think basically the board had made an legal error in the conclusion of law on this particular point. And basically, if there's any question that the judges have on this particular case, I would reserve the remaining.
Thank you. Why don't we hear from
remaining time for my rebuttal? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. NG. Ms. Lateef.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'd like to touch on something that Judge Clevenger mentioned, and that is that the issues before this court are twofold at this point. One is whether or not the statement of intended use is, I'm sorry, whether or not the to verify phrase is a statement of intended use, and then the latter being, if so, whether or not Adams discloses it. And the main thing here is whether or not Adams disclosed it is focused primarily on the to verify phrase in the comparing step. All of the other parts of the comparing step have been waived and are not at issue here. So when the board and the examiner point to A36 and talk about failure analysis, what they're basically saying is that you're testing the memory device, and when you look at the memory device and you find that there's some sort of error and you can't figure out where it is, one of those failures could be that the memory testing software is
equally so. It could be that it's not.
That is correct.
And so that reference anticipates a claim that tells you for sure that the error was in the mapping in the software.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What does the inherency doctrine require?
Well, I would argue
could be enough under the inherency doctrine.
Could be is not enough under inherency, but I wouldn't argue that this is an inherency. This reference deals with inherency. Inherency requires a must. It must be in the reference.
Well, actually, for anticipation, every element must be in the reference, right?
Well, but the fact that here in Adams, it could be a failure, would be enough for anticipation. If a person of
ordinary skill. Where in Adams does it explain that the failure could possibly be in the accuracy of the logic to physical mapping software?
Adams does not go into what the Adams doesn't explain what the multitude of failures can be. It just it doesn't. It's
and
not.
And how does it disclose it?
Because it says that there is, after you generate a BitFAMF, you can deduce a failure. And we know based on Jasinski's own application, in the prior art, there are multiple ways to test memory devices. And when you find that there's some sort of problem between the simulated data and the data that shows up, and you look at that, you get an error. And so there's an error, let's just say, in line one or line two. If you were to open up the memory device and see that there's actually not an error, the only possible conclusion, well, one of the possible conclusions could be, well, there's a problem with the mapping software.
Isn't the purpose of both of these inventions to find out if there's something wrong and then to fix it if it is wrong, right?
I would agree.
You don't want to keep manufacturing chips that aren't any good.
I'd agree with that, Your Honor.
So in Adams, the little light goes blinking. There's a failure in here. There's a problem. But you just told me a minute ago that one of ordinary skill in the art wouldn't know whether it was a failure in the circuit or whether it's a failure with the testing, the mapping.
So they would look at it and they would look at the chip and they would figure out, okay, well, I see that there's not an actual problem in the chip. So what else could possibly be wrong? One of those things that could.
Where does it say that explicitly in Adams?
It doesn't, Your Honor.
So if it doesn't say it explicitly and if it's not inherent, because you said it wasn't inherent, then how can it be anticipatory? What am I missing?
Well, Your Honor, you know, the examiner explained that a person of ordinary skill in the art could look at that and figure out.
Oh, that's a 103 analysis, isn't it?
Well, the examiner found.
If you say, well, one of ordinary skill in the art could look at this and maybe they would come to this conclusion and maybe they would come to that conclusion.
Well, I think one of the. If you look at this possibly as, which is our argument, that it's an actual mental step, that it's, you know, the next thing that you conclude, then I would argue you don't need to get there. I mean, it's not an active step that someone's doing. If you believe that it's a 103 reference, then, you know, the examiner found it to be anticipatory, and I would say that one of the things you could do is remand it back and instruct them in a way that they could figure out what your concerns are. But I think...
What does that mean? Figure out, you mean do another analysis if we reject the anticipatory?
And if you provided the board with, you know, what your concerns were and instructions on what you would
want.
Well,
it's not we don't do the board's job for them.
No,
if
I understand.
This rejection is no good. We don't say, but try these other three.
I understand, Your Honor. And what I'm really trying to say is that we believe that it's a statement of intended use first and foremost and that it's not limiting. But if we are to say, we also believe that if you do find it limiting, that it is disclosed in Adams when Adams describes failure analysis. When you look at the scanned out data and you look at the expected data and you compare it and you find that there's a problem and then you look into the memory device and you see there's not actually.
When you said a minute earlier, well, what you do when the Adams bells light started flashing, mistake, error, problem, one of skill in the art could then dissect the chip or he could somehow figure out that it was a flaw in the mechanical aspect of the chip. How does he do that?
Well, he would look at the where there was, so it has a mapping software that gives you locations of where there's a problem, and so it tells you exactly where the problems are. 2, 3, 4, something like that. And it takes pictures of the chip and he can actually look at the chip himself and figure out whether or not the problems are where the mapping software said the problems are. And if they don't match and that's incorrect, then one would deduce, okay, there's not a problem with the chip. There must be something else going on here.
But does it necessarily in electronics have to be the mapping software? Is there another possibility? Is there too much humidity in the room or there's some other problem in manufacturing?
It does not have to be the mapping software.
It doesn't have to. So it's a real maybe.
It's a possible problem with the mapping software. That's correct, Your Honor.
And on the other hand, Jasinski tells you for sure that it's in the mapping software.
Well, Jasinski is a method
for... Answer to that. Isn't that correct?
Jasinski
uses its testing device by putting software errors in and then hunting to see if it finds it. It's testing the accuracy of the mapping software.
Jasinski has a mental step at the end that tests the accuracy of the software, yes. But we would argue that's not a limitation within the claim.
I mean, assume you're wrong on that. I mean, it would seem to me that one of ordinary skill in the art would likely appreciate that Jasinski is doing something that Adams couldn't do. Because Adams made you guess. I mean, Adams gave you a coin and said, flip it. And maybe, even it has two sides, but you're not even sure that the mapping software side is accurate.
But I think a person of ordinary skill in the art can conclude that it's accurate. I'm sorry that the mapping software is defective because there's not that... If the memory chip proves not to have a failure where there's said to be a failure, the number of things that could be wrong with the memory chip aren't necessarily infinite, and that is one of the things that could be wrong with it. But if I could, I would like to talk about intended use unless you had more questions on that issue. The agency's position with intended use is that the to verify phrase actually does not have patentable weight. And one of the cases that Jasinski cites is Boehringer. And in that case, the court found that it was a limitation because when you took the phrase out of the claim lacked utility.
Can you tell me how to hear your last name?
Lateef.
Ms. Lateef.
Yes.
If I said I was going to compare you and Mr. NG, and then I stopped, you would have no idea what the basis, what the characteristic that I was comparing was. So why doesn't this actually really matter, because this limitation, as expressed in D, actually tells you what you're comparing them for. I'm comparing you for height, for volume, for eyesight, whatever. But it gives you the basis of the comparison.
Well, it doesn't matter when you're looking at whether or not Adams anticipates whether it's anticipated by Adams because the...
Wait, no. You were just arguing it's not a claim limitation. It's a statement of intended use. I don't want to talk about what Adams has in it. What I want to talk about is how do I look at a claim and figure out what is a statement of intended use versus a limitation that has to be present?
Yes, Your Honor. You look at what the steps are, and you look at whether or not if you were to remove the phrase that's in question, whether or not the claim still has utility. And in this particular instance, if you were to remove the to verify phrase, the claim still is a claim for testing a memory device. It still has steps that have no ambiguity. It still has...
But again, I could say compare the two of you. But if I don't tell you the basis upon which I want to compare you, then you might come up with a list. You're right. You might say, oh, well, compare the two of us. Well, my hair's longer than his hair, and he's taller than I am. But I was actually worrying about who wore glasses and who didn't. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying, Aaron, but my response would be that there's still steps for which to compare us. There's still steps within the claim that you're saying. I understand... that you're saying, well, we don't know why we're doing it. But we have a series of steps that are telling us what it is we're supposed to do.
But this is a limitation. It's in the claim language. It's not just in the preamble. And so you'd like us to read it out of the claim language entirely, and it just doesn't seem superfluous to me. It seems to me to give the exact basis for the physical comparison that's supposed to take place.
Well, when you look at what the case law is in terms of whether or not a statement of intended use is a limitation or not, some of the factors that are looked at is whether or not if you were to remove the statement, if you are able to complete the steps in the exact same way, if there is ambiguity in those steps, if the claim loses utility, if there is a way in which removing the steps somehow makes some sort of manipulative difference. And if you take out the to verify phrase in this particular claim, none of that works here. You still have a claim that has a way of testing a memory device, has utility. The to verify phrase does nothing to inform a person of ordinary skill in the art of how to execute the comparing step. It doesn't change any of the steps in any way. It's essentially this mental step tacked on at the end to verify. How does a person to verify? How do you tell someone who's looking at that claim what it is they're supposed to do? I wouldn't know how to instruct a person to verify the accuracy. It's not actively recited.
Well, sure you do. The patent tells you how to instruct someone to do it. Make sure that what's in this one place is the same thing that's in this other place. That's how you verify, right? I mean, maybe the difference could be make sure they're within an order of magnitude of each other. Maybe the difference is make sure that they correspond exactly, which is the case here, to what's present in each location. That's how you verify. I say verify this is my signature by comparing it to another signature of mine.
I'm not sure what the question is, Your Honor. Are you? I apologize.
No, that's all right. I guess I am sort of a little bit baffled about how you can say that it doesn't have meaning, that it is irrelevant in this claim. I feel like it gives the context for the comparison. And without it, I feel like you don't know why you're comparing two things.
Well, I don't want to...
Is the claim definite without the verifying the accuracy? I mean, it's a claim that's comparing some failed memory locations, right? With what?
With it's comparing basically simulated fails with actual fails. So just to go back, I wanted to address what you were saying about whether or not, whether or not this was something that is an active step, and you were saying, you know, someone could know how to verify because it's in the specification. When I read this claim, I think of the to verify step as sort of this mental step that you do at the end. You perform all of these steps, and then at the end you say, based on whatever your result is, okay, the mapping software is good or the mapping software is bad. And it is for that reason that it shouldn't be given patentable work. It's not something that you're actively doing.
Any final thoughts?
Although the argument is that the entirety, the genius of the invention is to be able to tell you whether to verify whether or not your software is any good.
Your
adversary is putting up, you know, two very distinct inventions. Adams is one invention, his is another.
Well, Adams, again, I go back to Adams can do that. When Adams cites that you can use this map for use in failure analysis.
Well, you told me that you could be wrong.
But
Adams, somebody can use Adams to try to decide if the software was no good, but he can be 100% wrong. And Jasinski is never 100% wrong. He's always 100% right. So it just seemed to me that there's just a big Grand Canyon between these two inventions. And the size of the Grand Canyon is measured by the verification step. So,
well, Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree with that. I would argue that the language for use and failure analysis, while it can be something else, it can also be this. And I feel...
We're dealing with an anticipation rejection here. And on the anticipation rejection, as Judge Moore pointed out, I would have expected you to say, well, every time you run Adams, you will know for sure. One of skill in the art will go and look, and he'll say, oh, the flaw was at point A on the chip. But there's no flaw on point A of the chip, so blah, blah, has to be the software. But you gave that argument up, I think.
Well, I'm arguing that it's not. I'm not arguing inherency, but I believe that that language that the examiner points to is enough to satisfy.
So you're arguing 99.9% anticipation when it's supposed to be 100%?
Well, no, Your Honor. I'm arguing that the failure analysis, because that is something that can be deduced, it's in the specification of Adams. And I just like to add, if I could, that Appellant's counsel didn't bring up Claim 8, and so we'd also like to rest on the briefs with respect to that claim. And if there are no further questions, I will yield my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll give you 3 minutes back for rebuttal if you need it.
Thank you, Laura. May it please the court. The reason why the panel is here before this court is exactly why the issue is baffled, you know, this court. It's we're not sure why the board or the examiner is sort of confused too, but like I said, they're very similar. I can understand why at the first glance they look really similar. But as far as facts cannot be waived, we actually have not waived any factual argument in that sense. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, Adams is related testing the system memory, the chip, the hardware. And then after subsequent to that, you use this mapping software to print out those information that's related to any software you find in the system memory. And then the current invention is basically check whether the mapping software is correct or not. So it's a two different comparing step.
Well, do you disagree with the director when the director says that if you run Adams and it says, whoops, there's a mistake,
mm-hmm.
you can go look at the chip and you can say there's no mistake there on the chip, so therefore the mistake must be in the mapping software?
Well, but we don't know, right? Because you have two variables, whether the mistake can be on the chip itself or on the software. So that's exactly why you need another test to eliminate one of
these. What I'm trying to get at is whether you agree with the director that you say, okay, I've got it, my software is telling me there's an error in the chip, you know, at point A.
Correct.
So you say, here, point A. So that's what they tell me, and you go and you look at the chip, and you say, well, there is no error at point A.
But we don't know. The truth is
I mean, can one of skill in the art sort of reverse engineer, go back and look at the chip, and just say, a magnifying glass, and say, well, is there a mistake at point A?
It's from a technical standpoint, it's very difficult. In fact,
the director's whole argument is that it's easy.
And I have to respectfully disagree with the director on that particular incident. Otherwise, we won't need to use the software to test that. And that's exactly why we're here today, is because you need the testing software. In fact, that's another piece of variable, is you have the testing software to test the hardware, and then you have this mapping software to read the results. So we have basically...
I'm still trying to get at where the mistake is if somebody has to write something
The
examiner seemed to be on the same page as the director. The examiner seemed to think that if a mistake occurs, you can go look at the physical chip and say, no mistake there. Therefore, it must have been the mapping software.
But that's not the conclusion, because again, there are two, and if not three, variables, because the mistake can occur in the testing software. We are talking about three pieces of variables here. The mistake can occur on the chip itself, the system memory, or it can occur on the testing software. And then what we're dealing with today is the mapping software. So there are three variables. So factually, the factual conclusion is incorrect. If you want to say you can just deduce if the mapping software is incorrect or not correct, then it must be on the chip. So, and that's it.
Mr. Ng, we didn't talk at all about simulated memory failure. It's pretty hard for me to find anything before the board where you argued that. It's a separate issue. You know, so if you get a new shot before the board, make sure your arguments are much more thoroughly documented below so that you don't end up having them waived.
Yes, Your Honor. I appreciate your suggestion. And I appreciate, basically, this case is really relatively straightforward.
One more quick thought.
Basically, we'll ask the court to uphold the holdings of Behringer. And maybe reverse the case and remand the case if the court so choose. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes the proceedings.